Lord and Savior. Amen. Peace. How we long to have some peace in this world. But it's awfully hard to have peace sometimes when we face what we have to face in this culture, in this society. We turn on the news, we look at the internet, we read the paper, and it seems all we hear about is distress and pain and trouble around the world and even in our own community. We go to the doctor and we get a diagnosis that we don't want to hear and the peace goes away. We go to work only to get a pink slip and find out we don't have a job and the peace goes away. You're barely making ends meet and then you find out that the furnace goes out or the car breaks down or something else happens and the peace goes away. Someone you dearly love dies and the peace goes away. You have 3 feet of snow on the top of your roof and the peace goes away. You know, it's hard to have peace in this world. But all the stuff I mentioned and more, we could maybe handle it if we knew that God was there holding us close the whole time. But there's the rub. According to Scripture, we're sinners. God is holy. We ought to receive His wrath. In fact, when we go through hard times and begin to suffer, that's what we begin to wonder. Is God out to get me? Or maybe He doesn't care at all. What are we to think about our relationship with God when we go through times of sorrow and tragedy and loss? Does He care? Or worse yet, does He hate us? Is He punishing us? Well, today I continue my sermon series on the book of Romans. In the first 2 verses of today's reading from Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul sums up what he's taught us in the first 4 chapters of this book. Listen to his words again. He says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand." Those words of Paul sum up the sermons that I've preached so far in this sermon series, but allow me to briefly explain what Paul's teaching us here. First, Paul says that we Christians have been justified. As I've mentioned in other sermons, that word justified translates a Greek word that means to declare not guilty. So to be justified means that you, a sinner, can stand before a holy God and hear Him say to you, "Not guilty." However, Paul then stresses that the only way we can be justified is through faith. Now, that English word faith translates a Greek word that simply means trust. In other words, we're justified before God because we trust Jesus for this gift and nothing else. In other words, the reason that God declares us not guilty is that God declared His Son, Jesus, guilty in our place. But if we refuse to trust in that, then there's no way we can be justified. You see, without faith in Jesus, our guilt remains upon us, and we're still under God's wrath, which, of course, is what we deserve. But through faith in Jesus and His sacrifice for us, we are declared not guilty before God. Now, of course, there are some people in our culture that are shocked to hear me say that some people might remain under God's wrath. They'll say, "Wait a minute, I thought God is love." Well, yes, God is love. But God is also holy and just, and that means He must punish sinners, even though He doesn't want to. However, because God is love, He provided a way of escape from His wrath for us sinners. The Father damned His own Son in our place so that through faith in Him we might be rescued from the wrath we deserve. But as I've already said, what if people refuse to repent of their sins? What if people refuse to trust in Jesus for justification before God? Well, then, by their own rebellious unbelief, they remain under God's wrath. And so, if someone ends up in hell, that person dare not blame God. You see, we need to realize that even though our justification before God costs us absolutely nothing, we need to realize that it costs God everything. Paul writes, "We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." It's Jesus' sacrifice that makes our justification possible. That's what it costs God. In fact, after Jesus rose from the dead, you might remember, He appeared to His apostles who were cowering behind locked doors. And when He appeared to them, He said, "Peace be with you." Jesus was assuring them that they were at peace with God. Of course, they were probably surprised to hear that. Many of them had let Jesus down. And they were probably thinking that the Father hated them for their cowardice and their treason. They were thinking, how is it possible for us to be at peace with God? Why would He love us? We've sinned. And then Jesus reminded them why they were at peace with God. The Gospels say that Jesus then showed them His hands and His side. The wrath of God that should have been poured out on us was poured out on Jesus. And because of that sacrifice, we sinners are at peace with God. In our reading, Paul says that through Jesus we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Paul mentions grace. Why? Well, obviously, if we are sinners, we do not deserve a not guilty verdict. That's why Paul stresses that we're justified by grace. That English word grace translates a Greek word that means unconditional love. In other words, God loves us and forgives us even though we don't deserve it and even though He doesn't get anything out of it. Our justification before God is a free gift from God's grace. And Paul says that we stand on this grace. Simply put, we can stand secure and safe before God because of Jesus. We do not have to fear God's wrath. We can stand before His throne on the final day and know that we are at peace with God through Jesus. And all of this because of God's grace, His unconditional love, His choice to love us, even though we don't deserve it. In fact, that's why Paul says that we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. What does that mean? Well, those who trust in Jesus can actually look forward to the final day. At the end of the second part of the creed, we talk about Jesus coming again to judge the living and the dead. The devil would like us to say those words with terror in our hearts, but the reality is we can look forward to that day. Paul says we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. When you stand before God on the final day, He will glory in you because you are His dearly loved and forgiven child. What a glorious day that will be. Well, that about sums up what we've learned in this sermon series so far. But now we're about to learn even more wonderful mysteries from God. Paul goes on to say the following. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. Now please understand, when Paul says that we rejoice in our sufferings, he doesn't mean that we actually enjoy the suffering itself. Nobody does. In fact, if you enjoy to suffer, you should probably get some counseling. Nobody enjoys suffering. Paul says we can rejoice in our sufferings, meaning that in the midst of our sufferings, in the midst of our pain, when the tears are flowing, we can still rejoice because we know that we're at peace with God. He loves us nevertheless. You know, these words of Scripture that talk about suffering and pain, that can often be a surprise to people in our culture, where sometimes we hear that if we're real Christians, we can be assured of health, wealth, and prosperity in this life. Now, of course, if you end up suffering, then these preachers who say that if you're a Christian, you'll have health, wealth, and prosperity, then they'll say, well, if you're suffering, then either you don't have enough faith, or maybe God doesn't like you. Well, nonsense, says Paul. The reason we Christians can rejoice in our sufferings is that God promises to use them to strengthen our faith in Jesus and to give us a mature Christian character. On top of that, the Bible also teaches that God will use our sufferings to give us opportunities to witness to unbelievers about the hope that we have in Jesus. Now, with that said, I'd like to briefly explain three reasons why we suffer in this world. First, and we can all agree with this, sometimes we suffer because we bring it on ourselves. We make sinful choices, we do foolish things, and we suffer the consequences. But you know what? Even when we're suffering by our own fault, God still loves us, and He will use those consequences to bless us and to bring us back to Him in repentant humility and humble faith. That leads to the second reason why we suffer in this world. Simply put, sometimes we suffer simply because we live in a world that's broken by sin. In other words, there are times we suffer through no fault of our own. We simply suffer because that's the nature of this world. We have to realize that the issue of suffering and death is not a question of if, but it's a question of when. We live in a world where suffering and death comes to us sooner or later in one degree or another. But we need to realize God allows us to face this suffering and death to remind us that this world is broken. It's His way of reminding us that something is wrong so that we will cling to Jesus even more. It's His way of reminding us that this world is not our real home, because we look forward to the new creation where we will live in God's love forever. A new creation where there will be no more sin, pain, or death. Finally, the third reason that we sometimes suffer in this world is because we are actually doing the right thing and being faithful to Jesus. Now that sounds a little odd to us. We tend to think, hey, if I do the right thing, if I strive to be a faithful Christian, I should be rewarded for that. Well, first of all, remember, we don't deserve anything. Any reward we get on the final day is a reward of pure grace. But secondly, Scripture teaches that just as Jesus suffered for doing the right thing, those who follow Him may also suffer for doing the right thing. It's hard for us to understand why God would allow faithful Christians to suffer, but we need to remember that God's ways are not our ways. In fact, as we Christians strive to be faithful to Jesus, we can very easily expect persecution, mock And that's usually a surprise to us Americans because we're not really used to suffering for our faith. But we need to realize that right now, as I preach, there are brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who are suffering greatly, specifically because they are faithful Christians and striving to live for Jesus. But even in the midst of this kind of suffering, God is with us. He's using us to be His witnesses, and He's assuring us that He loves us. So my fellow Christians, whenever you suffer, and for whatever reason you suffer, you need to remember this. God loves you. You are at peace with Him. He will never leave you or forsake you. In fact, the Holy Spirit will move you to trust in Jesus even more in the midst of your suffering, and thereby you will be assured of God's love for you. Paul goes on in our reading to remind us why we can be so certain that God loves us even when we're suffering. Paul says, God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Did you hear that wonderful good news? The Father did not sacrifice His Son for you because you were lovable and you deserved it. No, God sacrificed His Son for you even though you were not lovable and even though you did not deserve it. You see, my fellow sinners, God's love for us is unconditional. He loves us because He chooses to love us and not because we've earned it. Therefore, you never, ever, ever have to wonder, am I good enough for God to love me? Or does God hate me because I've sinned too much? In fact, Paul goes on to stress that the same point he made earlier can be made in an even stronger way when he says, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son. Did you hear that? Even though we are by nature God's enemies, the Father put His Son on the cross for us. With that understood, Paul then makes another statement to comfort us. To comfort us who have been saved, who do believe in Jesus. He says, since we have now been justified by Jesus' blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? Here's Paul's argument. He's saying, if God loved you enough to put His Son on the cross for you when you were still unbelievers, then how much more does God love you now that you are His baptized, believing, forgiven children? Therefore, even when we suffer for whatever the reason, we can know that God loves us because of what He was willing to give up for us. Paul sums this up beautifully in Romans chapter 8 when he says, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things? So my friends, as you go through this life, facing many trials and difficulties and challenges and tragedies, there's one thing you can know absolutely for certain. You're at peace with God. He's with you even in the midst of your sufferings. And He promises to bless you spiritually in the midst of your sufferings. He will never leave you or forsake you. You can look forward to that day when God will glory in you. You are at peace with God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.